It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No brakes,
no brakes,
no fear,
no fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
It's hotting up in the Rowe Motor Oils Premiership as the Bellevue Aces halt the Ipswich Witches on beaten run at the National Speedway Stadium.
We appreciate, you know, without Jason Doyle, the other mission was probably, you know, going to be accomplished a little bit easier, but nonetheless, to get the bonus point against Ipswich is, we're pretty happy with that.
Drama in the build-up for the Witches, though, with Jason Doyle stranded in Poland.
Doyle got on his flight to fly over and there was a problem with the plane, so they got them all off and it was a 3-hour delay. We tried to get him a different flight, but obviously it's quite late notice on the day.
Our main guest in this episode is Tom Brennan of the Birmingham Brummies and also the Poole Pirates. But it's the Brummies who are first up on Eurosport as the TV coverage begins on Monday night. And Tom will be facing his former side, the Bellevue Aces.
Exactly, and you know, that's a huge part of it. People have expectations. People want to do the best they can, obviously, for their clubs. And when things aren't quite going right, things then become a lot harder.
And ahead of the first Speedway Grand Prix in Croatia, we speak to Dan Bewley about his chances in 2024 and dealing with the online experts.
And I beat their second strings, people saying world champion. Uh-huh. But now you get beat by their heat leader and people saying you're terrible and shambolic.
All to come on this week's episode of British Speedway's official podcast. No brakes, no fear.
No brakes, no fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along to another episode, and we begin at the National Speedway Stadium, where the Bellevue Aces put an end to the last remaining unbeaten record in the Rowe Motor Oil Premiership. It was a thumping 55-35 win over Ipswich at home. The Aces moved up to second in the league table by taking maximum points from the meeting in another impressive display at the National Speedway Stadium. Captain Brady Kurtz scored a 12-point maximum as the home heat leaders dominated the race wins. Dan Bewley with 12+2, only missing out to Witches guest Ryan Douglas in heat 15, whilst Jamin Lidsey added 10. Dougie with 11+1 proved a good guest for Ipswich captain Danny King, but the visitors were also without Jason Doyle, who had to disembark his schedule flight in Poland for technical reasons and then was unable to make it to Manchester in time. Rising star Dan Thompson put in another strong performance, scoring 9. It was also his birthday as well. Dan Thompson, we'll hear from him in just a moment. First of all, to the Aces team manager, Mark Lemon.
Yeah, smooth sailing. Obviously, the track conditions sort of you're a bit heavy earlier on, but the boys adapted and obviously pulled clear towards the end. We appreciate, you know, without Jason Doyle, the other mission was probably, you know, going to be accomplished a little bit easier, but nonetheless, to get the bonus point against Ipswich, we're pretty happy with that.
Your three heat leaders really delivered tonight, and maximums for Brady Kurtz from his four rides, and Dan Bewley almost getting the full paid max, but just missing out in heat 15, but the job was well done by then.
Yeah, and you know, a great, you know, valiant guest by Ryan Douglas there, and obviously young Dan Thompson was very impressive tonight. So yeah, I think Ipswich can take a little bit of pride from that, but you know, we expect to win at home, and I think like any other team does, because it's what you need to sort of tick over and get those, you know, cumulative points to push for the playoffs.
And that takes you back up towards the top of the Rowe Motor Oil Premiership at the moment. Still some work to do, a long way to go yet, but Birmingham next up for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
hey, folks, what's in hand? I said, you know, this is probably the strongest tonight, but we dealt with that. We move forward. We look towards the next match, and obviously we got the one away. Obviously Birmingham coming up, so we just put our attention to that one now.
Okay, well, you can have a good night's sleep tonight and enjoy it for the next few days.
Yeah, it's definitely a much enjoyable trip home after a win. That's for
Thank
sure.
You.
So, yeah, the Bellevue Aces will be first in front of the TV cameras on their trip away to Birmingham at Perry Bar, Eurosport, Monday night, 29th of April. It all starts there, and of course there's the Grand Prix coverage to come before that from Croatia, and more about the Grand Prix with Dan Bewley and Chris Louie later on in the podcast. Right now, back to Monday night at the National Speedway Stadium, and really, things got off to a bad start from the off for the Ipswich Witches, losing not only Danny King to injury, but also Jason Doyle, unable to get to the UK because the plane had a technical fault, so they had to take them all off the plane, and he was unable to get over to the UK and to the National Speedway Stadium in time. Here is Richie Hawkins reflecting on the Witches' first defeat of the season.
Well, Richie Hawkins, with everything that went on in the build-up to tonight's fixture, just how much were you up against it from the start?
Yes, I mean, you're always up against it coming to Bellevue. They're so quick round here and a good team. We're always up against it. But, yeah, obviously, you know, losing two riders. Obviously, Dougie's been brilliant, done a great job instead of Danny. But, whenever you miss Doyle, it's going to be a big loss to us. Even with Doyle, it was going to be a tough night anyway. It always is here. It's only April and we're in a good position. We're going well and we'll regroup and go again Thursday.
For those who may not have seen it, just explain what happened with Doyle today.
Doyle got on his flight to fly over and there was a problem with the plane, so they got him all off and it was a 3-hour delay. We tried to get him a different flight, but there was nothing available. Obviously, it's quite late notice on the day. Hoped they'd get the plane repaired and he'd get here in time, but obviously he couldn't. So, yeah, it's one of them, really. It's like just out of everyone's hands.
Like you say, sir, it's a disappointing night, obviously, to lose by 20 and leave here without any league points at all. But as you've mentioned, overall, more than happy with the start to the season you made?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Look, tonight's been tough. Thought it was going to be, but we've had a brilliant start. Thursday, and everything's sort of rosy again. And then, yeah, we've got, trips to Leicester coming up and then bank holiday against King's Lynn, which is massive for us as a club. So, yeah, a lot of important meetings coming up, so we certainly can't mope about tonight.
We will look ahead to Thursday shortly. Just look at a couple of the boys individually. First of all, a real plus side, Dan Thompson. He's been in terrific form as the rising star and fantastic once again here tonight.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's flying. I think his confidence is just growing week by week. He's making brilliant starts and he's quick and... You know, he's up there mixing it now, round here to be mixing it with the heat leaders, and he was probably our best rider, or with along with Dougie really tonight, he was our best rider. So, absolutely delighted with him. Brilliant kids, great attitude, working hard, improving, learning everything you could want from a rising star. He's doing that.
On the other side of the coin, Jordan Jenkins, you've seen him walking around tonight. Obviously, his head's down and his confidence is down. It's been a tough start to life with the Witches at this level.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan got thrown straight in the deep end because he's only got like a couple of meetings at reserve and out of rising star sort of thing, straight from last season straight into number two position. Then he goes to Leicester and we have Oxford, whose actual solidness in their teams they're so solid. It's going to be tough for him. He'll drop back down to reserve next month and... he's just had a tough time. I think it's early in the season though. He's getting his equipment figured out. I think he's someone that's come to Ipswich. He knows the club well and he appreciates what massive opportunities he's got. And I think he's putting too much pressure on himself. I think he's overthinking everything and all the classic mistakes every speedway rider makes at some point. And he's a young kid and he's got plenty of time. The team's winning. We're all happy with him and he'll have time. We'll stick with him. I don't think there's any pressure on him or any. Worries there really. He's progressed every year in his career. Very talented lad, and I'm sure a bit of time and he'll get everything figured out and he'll be away.
Yeah, and just finally, you have already briefly mentioned it, but Thursday night it is a big occasion at Vauxhall. Obviously, a repeat of last year's grand final, and Sheffield seem to be gaining a bit of momentum themselves.
Yeah, obviously, you know, they got like the big names in their side, and I'm sure everyone will be looking forward to them doing battle. And we're up for it. You know, we want to win. We're doing well at home. We have to rip the track up this week and get it nice and grippy and stuff for them.
He Who Dares wins at Foxhall then for Thursday, potentially. Let's hear from Dan Thompson. We heard Richie Hawkins talking about him. He had a good night, 20th birthday, and bagged himself a fair few points as well at the National Speedway Stadium, and some thrilling rides, including his second ride where he was dueling with Dan Bewley for a couple of laps. Here is Dan Thompson right now.
It was another solid for my night, for myself in the Rising Star Bath. It's been going pretty well lately. I've been making starts, and that makes it easier. So I couldn't be happier with how things are going, how things are with Ipswich and Plymouth. So just looking to carry on.
A lot of good points, and for a time, I think in your second ride, you're up against Dan Bewley, and you made that gate. You were out front against Dan Bewley, and he looked like you were pulling away from him at one point. That must have been a bit of a confidence boost, at least.
Yeah, now the track was sort of very heavy, so if you didn't hit the front, you could sort of pull a distance. So it did help that I was making starts, but to be fair to myself, I've been making starts pretty much all year so far. So it's something I've worked on a lot, and to be leading some of the fast boys around here was definitely good for myself.
You're saying the track, it was fairly heavy as things went, and so maybe an extra incentive to get out front, because if you were behind, it was fairly hard going.
Yeah, it was. I mean, in my last one, I sort of, as my fifth ride, I sort of tired, I hadn't really had much of a break, but apart from that, all my other starts were pretty dialed and made it easier.
Any plans for birthday celebrations then? How do you relax after the meeting now?
Not really. Being a speed rider, don't really celebrate your birthday. You just flat out 24/7. I've only had probably one day off in the last week. So I like being busy, and when it's going well, it's fun. So just hopefully it carries on.
It's been a good start to the season overall, though, hasn't it, for both of your clubs?
Yeah, definitely. I think both my clubs have been relatively happy with my performances. I've had a few not so good ones, but most of the time I've been putting the good points on the board, so happy days.
And I know you're saying you've got some new machinery underneath you as well. It's been serving you well, those changes.
Yeah, I've switched engine tuner and engine this year, and seems to be working for me, along with a few clutch adjustments, which has helped my starts as well. So I'd like to say thank you to, as probably you know him, the Freddo man, Simon, for sponsoring me the engine, and it's going well.
Yeah, just to explain the Freddo man, he always brings a big bag of Freddos, and tonight that bag was, it was a big bag. See, but you've restocked on the Freddos.
Yeah, no, he's always there supporting the team, taking Freddos around to everyone and making drinks. He's the big supporter of the team, so it's nice to have him in the camp.
Treat yourself to an extra Freddo on the way home.
Yeah, I will do.
Thank you.
All hail the Freddos. It seems to be the winning formula for Dan Thompson at the moment. So let's look back now at some of the fixtures from last week on Thursday in the Rowe Motor Oil Premiership. And Sheffield finally got a home meeting on the board and were emphatic winners, 58-32 over a depleted King's Lynn side in the first fixture of the season at Ollerton. Jack Holder scored 10+2. It was a paid maximum for him from four rides for the Tigers. Fellow heat leaders Ty Wolfenden, 12+1. Chris Holder with 12, also in good form for a result which extends their unbeaten run against the Stars to 17 matches in the top flight. Former Sheffield star Tobias Musilak top scored for the visitors with 12+1, but they were also without Niels Christian Iversen and Benjamin Basso after they had crashes in Denmark earlier in the week. Heat leader Vadim Tarasenko endured a disastrous meeting, failing to score. Let's hear now from the Sheffield Tigers rising star, Dan Jilks.
Well, Dan Jilks, first and foremost, first home meeting for the Sheffield Tigers. A very convincing win as well.
Yeah, it was great to be back on home shale. Obviously, we hadn't had a press day, so the first ride, it was just getting back used to the track. But it was great to be back home, you know, see all the fans. And the track was good tonight, and, you know, it was nice to get a home victory. And everyone rode really well, so that's the main thing.
For yourself individually, I think you'd be the first to admit it has been a tough and testing start to the season, particularly with Sheffield in the Premiership. After coming last in Heat 2, how much more pleasing does that make the fact you went unbeaten in your final three programme rides?
Yeah, it's been a tough start to the season for sure. I think I've just hadn't had enough time on the bike. Obviously, I had the injury last year, missed out on the end of the season, and was only able to get one practice before we started racing, which wasn't ideal. And You know, we were still learning a little bit about the bike, you know, made a few changes to the bikes, and, you know, for every meeting we were learning more and more. You know, the points weren't really showing it, but we were kind of going in a certain direction, you know, with the way we set the bike, and it was the wrong way, but we kept at it, unfortunately. But you know, tonight it was nice to you know, get some points on, you know, on the board, and, you know, contribute to, you know, towards the team. Of course, it's, you know, it's not the, you know, the end. You know, we still got to push, and, you know, there's still a lot of things to work on. But it's nice to finally get some fresh air and not come home with some sore knuckles from all the roost.
Well, at Leicester, Max Frick stormed to a 15-point maximum against his former club, the Bellevue Aces, as Leicester secured their first home league win of the season, a 53-37 win against Bellevue. The Lions skipper reeled off 5 wins out of 5 this side, but in their most convincing performance of the season so far, taking 12 of the 15 Heat victories. And they even came close to challenging for the aggregate bonus point, despite an 18-point deficit in Manchester the previous week. But Ben Cook's Heat 14 win gave the Aces some consolation, even though they then conceded a 5-1 in the final race. Sam Masters with 10+1, Ryan Douglas 9+1, backing up Frick's unbeaten show for the hosts. Jamin Lindsay top scoring for the visitors with 12+1 from 6 rides. So we'll hear from Ryan Douglas in just a moment. First of all, Leicester manager Stuart Dixon.
Stuart, a week's long time in Speedway, doom and gloom and all that. Now you've had a big win at Birmingham and a really impressive home performance tonight. Actually, not far off the aggregate point.
No, a much better week for us, David. As you say, Birmingham Monday night. Good positive 2 points there tonight again. 2 points. And it was funny, we're in about 8-9. We went to look at it and say, can we get a bonus point here? But Bellevue held on for that. But I think the most important thing was the overall performance with the team. There's still one or two to go into another gear, I think. But when you're number one, I said, Max Frick scoring a 15-point maximum, you're getting 12 race winners at home, you know, yeah, it's a good sign for us, yes.
Obviously his best performance this season, and also Sam Masters looks much quicker than he did in the first couple of weeks too, and that's giving you that backup with Dougie as well. As you say, there are a couple that need to improve a bit, but there's not too much to complain about there.
There's not too much to complain about, you're right what you said. Dougie's now making good starts, Sam Masters dialed in now. He looks, pardon me, as if he's got the setup. You know, I think, you know, our two setting strings, you know, the way they are in the programme, 2 and 4, I know it looks no setting strength sort of thing, but I think, you know, he was a bit disappointed tonight, but he shouldn't have beat himself up too much. You know, it was just one of those nights, and Richard Lawson, by his high standards so far this season, probably had a lower score than what he'd hoped for. But also mentioned the reserves, my reserves outscored them tonight, which was important. We need to start doing that at home. But overall, it was a seven-man team effort, you know, and, you know, not everybody can ride well every meeting, but tonight, as I say, we've done enough to get a convincing win. The fans seem happy. I've just done an interview over at the stand. Everybody seems positive. It's been a good week for Leicester.
And Joe Thompson making starts. Had a big, big crash last week at Scunthorpe, but he seems to have got his confidence back, because I saw him ride superbly at Oxford last night as well. He's had a really positive week.
And I would say also very brave. I watched one race he was going down the back straight. I think there was 2 Bellevue riders either side of him, and he never shut off. Now that's after a serious crash last Friday at Scunthorpe, as you say. Very pleased for him. His gating was terrific tonight. Really, really good. And as I say, deserved his points. Well done to him.
Okay, well, one of the top scorers for Leicester, and there was a number of top scorers, really. Max Frick, of course, with that max, Sam Masters, and Ryan Douglas getting a paid 10 points last Thursday. And he, too, has been chatting to Ryan Guest.
Well, after the win at Birmingham last Monday, you said about the Lions all clicking. Didn't quite all click, but nevertheless, it was a much more convincing performance from the Lions against Bellevue.
Yeah, no, I think we're pretty happy with that. Obviously, Bellevue is a strong team, and yeah, to put that decent gap on them is obviously a nice feeling. Still not 100% all clicked. I think, you know, like Luke's riding is still riding well, just kind of not gating the best and maybe getting in the wrong positions. But yeah, I'm sure he's not far off all happening for him too.
Last time we spoke to you as well, you said you didn't think that Max was far off as well, and obviously we saw the very best of him against his old club as well. How easier does it make it when your number one is going out and riding how he did last week?
Yeah, a lot easier. It takes the pressure off everyone else when you see number one flying, and they can kind of help the rest of the boys. And yeah, it's just obviously they can kind of lead from the front, which makes it easier. So yeah, Max had a great meeting, and I watched him race yesterday in Poland, and he was flying as well. So hopefully, you know, that's what we're going to be getting from now.
And like you say, to have that as well, everyone thought the bonus point was more or less done with the way your home form had been, and obviously the lead Bellevue got. But you were right in there, right till the very end for it.
Yeah, it was close. So that's, you know, something we can look at for the return to the fixtures. You know, hopefully we won't get put so many points on like we did last time here. The track was obviously a lot very different conditions to normal. So if we can keep it a bit closer here next time and put a similar performance at home, you know, we can get that extra point.
Obviously major favourites to take the bonus point, at least at home to Birmingham this Thursday as well. Obviously, everyone knows they've had a difficult start to life in the Premiership. So how as a team, how as riders, do you have to approach a fixture like that one?
Yeah, obviously, like normal, you know, they're still not a bad team on paper. So you never know, they could rock up and, you know, all ride really well and put a lot of pressure on us. So we need to turn up and ride like it's any other meeting and aim to win and hopefully convincingly.
Well, the other fixture last Thursday was at Vauxhall, and the Ipswich Witches moved top of the Row Motor Oil Premiership with a 45-39 win over rivals the Oxford Spires. The Spires remained in touch despite the non-arrival of Rowan Tungate due to travel issues in Poland. The Witches were never allowed to build a large advantage. They eventually went 6 points clear with a 5-1 from Emil Saifutinov and Jason Doyle in Heat 13. And although guest Scott Nichols won Heat 14 as a tactical substitute, the visitors only fielded one rider, so Ipswich meant their win was assured, and the meeting was then abandoned due to rain as that came in after Heat 14. But there was nothing to race for in Heat 15. Everything was finalised, and so the meeting ended there. Doyle got 9+2. Emil Saifutinov got 9. Coming into the Oxford Spires, though, there was a new signing. Eric Riss returned to British Speedway and ironically facing his former side at Vauxhall. And Mike Boswell caught up for a quick chat with Eric.
Eric, first match in for the Oxford Spires, and you're back at your old kind of hometown club, as it were. How did you find it tonight?
Yeah, I started off really well. I had good speed, and I was enjoying myself. And then, unfortunately, the rain came, and I really struggled when the track turned slippery. My engine was too strong, and I couldn't calm it down. And yeah, my last two races was terrible. And unfortunately, we kept it quite close throughout the meeting, and unfortunately we didn't end up getting the win.
And quite a rapid change straight into the Oxford Spires team. When did you get that call, and how long did it take you to get your kid over here?
Yeah, I got the call last Monday, and I got here yesterday morning, so it was very spontaneous, yeah. But, you know, I was ready for it anyway, you know, I was just hoping to get a call soon. And yeah, I'm really glad it happened.
So obviously back in the Premiership, are you also still looking perhaps going to picking up a championship team, or what teams are you also involved with this year?
I'm also riding in Poland in the Polish league. When it comes to championship, I don't know yet. It depends, you know, when you get an offer, then you think about it, but at the moment I'm not thinking about it, so we'll see.
Cool. Well, great to see you back in British Speedway. Thanks.
Thank
Eric.
You. Cheers.
Yeah, and Eric looked pretty impressive, actually, on his return to British Speedway. But that's no surprise, really, if you see what he's been doing on the continent. He's had some good results in Poland, and he seems to be back to his best. Could he be pivotal for the Oxford Spires? Let's have a look at the Row Motor Oil Premiership, then, where we stand at this moment in time. Top of the table, then, remain the Ipswich Witches. They're on 9 points, having ridden 5 meetings. 1 point behind them, also on 5, ridden the Bellevue Aces in second place. They are on 8 points. The Oxford Spires in third now, and they are on 7 points from 5 meetings ridden. The Sheffield Tigers have a meeting in hand. They've ridden 4 and 6 points on the board, so they're fourth. And then fifth place, Leicester Lions, 5 meetings ridden and 6 points as well. And sixth place, Birmingham Brummies, 5 ridden and 1 point. And currently bottom of the pile, 3 meetings ridden, no points yet for the Kings Lynn Stars. So that's how things look in the Row Motor Oil Premiership. And taking a look at the upcoming fixtures for the Row Motor Oil Premiership, well, on Monday, it's going to be a big day next week. More about that in a moment. First of all, let's look at Thursday, which is April 25th. We've got the Oxford Spires versus the Kings Lynn Stars, Leicester Lions versus the Birmingham Brummies, and the Ipswich Witches versus the Sheffield Tigers at Vauxhall. All those in the Row Motor Oil Premiership. And then scooting ahead to next Monday, it is that big day that people have been asking about on social media for weeks, if not months. When is Speedway back on Eurosport? Well, it is Monday, April 29th. And it is going to be a clash at Perry Bar for the Birmingham Brummies versus the Bellevue Aces. First up on Eurosport Discovery Plus, 7:30 tapes up And I believe the show will start at 7 o'clock on Monday night. So don't miss that one. Coming up then in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, we will speak to our guest who will be involved in that very fixture. Tom Brennan of the Birmingham Brummies joins us in the next part to discuss that, to discuss making a meeting by helicopter last weekend. And also we'll touch on pool as well, because he's riding with the Pool Pirates in the Championship. And they have a knockout cup quarter-final clash against the Edinburgh Monarchs at Wimborne Road this week. So we'll talk about that too. All that and much more to come on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome back, I'm Ian Brannan. Coming up later, we will turn our attention on the Speedway Grand Prix and look ahead to the first round in Croatia with Dan Bewley and Chris Louie. That to come in part three. But right now, we stick with the TV theme, because the first British Row Motor Oil Premiership fixture on Eurosport and Discovery Plus takes place on Monday. A lot of people have been asking, when is the first Eurosport fixture? Well, it is Monday the 29th. It's the Birmingham Brummies versus the Bellevue Aces. And we've got a rider who's represented them both. Tom Brennan made the move from the National Speedway Stadium to Perry Bar over the course of the winter and now lines up for the Curtis Sport Brummies. And they face the Aces, so he's facing his old team first up, live on TV on Monday night. Welcome along, Tom. It's all hotting up now, isn't it? Getting busy in the season. You've had international fixtures, busy in the Championship and, of course, in the Premiership as well. So it's all happening now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, everything's sort of coming together now, isn't it? After a very, very long winter, we now seem to be kind of starting to kick off. So, yeah, we have the first Eurosport meeting, which I think everybody's been waiting for, which is always exciting to have the first one, especially against your old club. But for me, it's just another meeting, and we're obviously really, really looking forward to get going.
Obviously, you were left in the position where you had to find yourself a new club, and you've got that now in Birmingham. I guess there's pros and cons, I suppose, for you. You're based in the Midlands, so it's a shorter distance for you to travel from that point of view. I know from speaking to Mark Lemon last night, you know, he was explaining himself, you know, the sort of agonising decision of what to do, really, and I think in an ideal world he would have probably kept all the riders in there, but it's just how Speedway goes sometimes, isn't it? But you found a new home now, and tell us about life at Birmingham so far for you.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, it's sort of was one of those positions. We had a pretty successful 3 years at Bellevue, which all I can do is thank them a lot for that. We had obviously worked very hard for that spot too, and it seemed to be that as soon as you kind of got out of that Rising Star scheme, you kind of got help the year later, which is fantastic. You got kind of help with the 50% reduction, in which I then stayed like true to my kind of honours, really. I kind of respectfully come back to Bellevue because of what they did for me, and then followed on from that, you're then basically just another number. So it was a pretty harsh reality. You kind of do the right thing, you kind of progress out of that system, and then You kind of left there or thereabouts, but that's the kind of reality of Speedway. You have to be ready for that. You have to be, it was a little bit of a shock, but at the same time, it's kind of progressed me forward now. In terms of Birmingham, it was a little bit of a surprise, really. I kind of guessed it for Birmingham the last few years, and actually really enjoyed the club. Everything that they kind of portrayed to me, everything that they kind of showed me what the club was about, I was really excited. And the fact that it was really close to where I'm based here in the Midlands, it actually was probably a bit of a negative, because I always like to push myself. I really quite like to be doing it, to be working hard for what I do, and I didn't want it to become too easy. I didn't want it to be, as in with the travelling respect, I didn't want it to become too kind of routine. But I'm really, really happy I made that decision, because Birmingham have been absolutely amazing, and We obviously need to get that kind of win now, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to with Birmingham.
Yeah, and on that, you know, you mentioned about being a rising star. You were the first of the rising stars to progress out of that berth, you know, being a number seven or whatever, and moving up into the main body of the team, which hadn't been achieved before. So you were the first to do that. We're now seeing, like, Dan Thompson, for example, has had a great start to the year at Ipswich, and I think there's talk of potentially maybe he might end up doing the same as well. Just tell us about the pros and cons of that, because, you know, you have this safety of being at number seven. You're, you know, more of a protected rider, but of course when you move up to say number two, you know, you're out in heat number one, you're up against some big hitters all of a sudden right from the off, aren't you?
Yeah, massively. I mean, it's an absolute massive step. I mean, even from when I rode in 2021, when the Rising Star scheme kind of begun, it was definitely, it was amazing because we got given opportunities that we definitely would have been given, you know, without that system. So, I mean, it's only a positive. Do I believe the British do I need to kind of introduce a little bit more to that? You know, definitely. It's kind of one of those things where we need to be allowing British riders to be getting more of the team spots, I believe. I mean, you only have to look at Sweden or Poland, and there's kind of a lot more opportunities for those guys. But once you get over the age of 23 or whatever the Rising Star scheme is, like I said, you're kind of left to dry a little bit. So you could be on a pretty good average. You could be 5-6 point average, trying to prove yourself. And unfortunately, you're then now just a number, and you're probably not going to get a spot. So it's a really harsh reality. I think we could do more. I think we can do more to protect those riders and to kind of give those opportunity to guys that are maybe a little bit older than that too. But yeah, in terms of, you know, in terms of Dan, and there's obviously Ashton Belgian that was in Pardew Beach the other week. He rode fantastic. Dan has been riding really well. And hopefully we can start seeing some more of these guys kind of progressing through that system, because it's there for a reason, and you know, it kind of definitely works. So these guys are working hard, and it's kind of definitely cool to see some more guys coming up through that.
On the subject of Pardew Beach, you've just been there for this the European Under 23 semi-final, wasn't it? And Great Britain finished second, but second to the hosts. They're always going to have an advantage on their own circuit, I suppose. But gave it your all. Tell us about that, though, because it was a busy weekend for you. I know from speaking to Jordan Jenkins, you know, he'd driven all the way from Britain out there and then drove all the way back for the meeting on Monday. You have rock and roll lifestyle now. You're jetting in and out, and then helicoptering it to your Polish meeting as well, which sounds pretty showbiz.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to begin, everybody puts a lot of effort in when they have to represent their country, right? I mean, that's kind of number one. If you kind of get asked to represent your country, you should be there, which is something that I kind of have like lived by over the last few years. And, you know, to see the effort from Jordan, to see the effort from obviously Ashton Belgian, Leon, Anders, everybody that was there, everybody wanted to represent their country the best they could. Everybody brought the best equipment they could. And it was actually really, really cool to kind of look around and realize that, you know, we're all here for the same reason. Unfortunately, we fell a little bit short. Czech were just a little bit too good for us, which was a shame. I mean, notoriously, they're obviously good around Pardew Beach, but we kind of thought we had a little bit of an edge going into it. So that's the way Speedway goes. There's obviously a lot of miles, a lot of traveling. In terms of my weekend personally, started the day very well. And then we then had to race Nostrov later on that night. And it was kind of the club's decision to kind of get a helicopter. And we kind of mentioned it as a little bit of a joke. And next thing they're like, yeah, okay, well, we're going to do it. And that kind of proved to me that, you know, how much the club wanted me there. And I also wanted to help my club out. And it was challenging. It was very difficult. It was, you know, things can go one or two ways. I could have got the helicopter and gone and got 15 points, or I could have done and gone and got 0 points, which is unfortunately what happened. But you live and learn from mistakes. You live and learn from different opportunities. And all I can be is thankful. And yeah, we're here now. So it was a very stressful and kind of hard weekend, but everybody gave it 110%.
Yeah, well, you've got to do it, haven't you? And I think, you know, if the opportunity's there, then, you know, why wouldn't you? And I think that people might have seen the photos that you put on, maybe it's Instagram, where you were in the Kevlars, weren't you? You'd obviously come off the track and then to see sort of arriving, almost like Bomber out the back of the van, but you're doing with a helicopter.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as cool as Bomber's, though, I must admit. His one was pretty cool. But yeah, we had to have the suit on, had to have everything on, and we literally made it as Heat 4 were finishing, and I was out in Heat 5. So I missed my first race, which is never ideal. And then kind of on the back foot from there, really. But, you know, my team, everybody worked really, really hard, and all I can do is say thank you for their support. And we'll have to put it
OK, well, good effort nonetheless. And I think that's another point as well, isn't it? You know, we've talked about the Rising Star thing, but, you know, you are, I suppose, involved in that under-23s, but that whole GB youth setup, you know, being part of the under-21s with Neil Vatcher and Jackie Vatcher and all the various support that comes with it is sort of part and parcel of that under that Rising Star situation as well, isn't it? Because these people have been with you from when nobody knew who you were, when you were a 8, 9 year old or whatever it was when you first started riding around.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Neil and Jackie have been absolutely kind of, how do you say, amazing, really. I mean, there isn't any other sort of word to sort of describe them. They've kind of stuck with everything, even when things have got hard with the British youth. They've always been there. They've always got a smile on their face, and they only want the best for their country. So it's really, really nice, the fact that they're still involved now. And I remember meeting Neil and Jackie when I must have been literally, 8 or 9 years old, and kind of running around on a little 125 bike, and they were there. And yeah, it's funny, because you kind of grow up with these people around you, and you don't really take into consideration what they're doing in the sort of first moment, right? And then you kind of grow up with them, and it's really cool. But Team GB, Rob and Vicky, Ollie and obviously Simon and everyone like that are doing a fantastic job, and I don't really need to say much on that subject, because you can only look around and see the amount of effort that obviously they're kind of putting in. Everything's professional, everything's right. It's just, you know, we need to step up and kind of fulfill what they're giving us, really. The opportunities that, like, we've been given are massive. The opportunities to kind of represent our country and to kind of be racing against riders that are probably above our kind of level right now, definitely only pushes us on. And to kind of involve people like Ashton, only being 16 years old, and putting him in like a European under 23 semi-final is pretty much unheard of. For him to have that experience, to see how he kind of relished in that, was like, you know, was like only a positive for me. And I really hope they can see that as a positive too. So we only have to keep working harder. They need to keep working harder. And I'm sure that hopefully soon we can start making some progress in that under 21 and under 23 level.
Yeah, Ashton Badger must have been walking in there thinking he was Rod Stewart when he arrived, I think, having beaten Jason Doyle the night before or whatever. It was a fantastic heat. I don't know if you saw that, but he must have been pleased with that.
Yeah, wow. I mean, anyone would be, right. So that's good.
On to Birmingham then, the Brummies. Obviously, it's been a tough start to the season, but you have got a point on the board. So currently, Birmingham not bottom of the Road Motor Oils Premiership, but you've got a tricky task coming up, because you've got Leicester away first up, and that was a bit of a heavy one when they came to visit, and 14 points down, I think, on aggregate at this moment in time. But that said, you know, not out of sight, and now hopefully you're looking at getting the full team together. This has been the thing, hasn't it, that you haven't actually ridden as a full 1-7 yet?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the team is a fantastic team. Everybody in that team can go and win races, and they can all be very competitive. It's just, you know, if I'm being completely honest right now, we kind of begun the year a little bit on a back foot. We hadn't had any practice on the Birmingham track. The season started very, very early, and we went into the first handful of races, or meetings, sort of having the mindset of, we're probably going to be beaten here, but we have to try to do the best we can. And we all sort of pulled through, and we actually almost won, you know, the majority of them. Since then, it's kind of become a little bit of a stigma around obviously not kind of winning a meeting, and people need to kind of let that go, you know, because it definitely will happen. But when it happens, it's kind of a different story. And right now around the camp, we need to all kind of come back to reality and understand what's going on. And same with the management, same with everybody involved in Birmingham Speedway. What they've done now is, you know, absolutely spectacular. And I kind of hope that now we can all kind of work together and we can get back to that mindset of things are open. But no, everything's looking good. Birmingham's still on track, and all you can do is now keep on going.
It's a tough balance, isn't it? Of, you know, at the start of the season, everybody's managing their expectations and saying, well, you know, look, we just want a decent season. If we can have an outside chance of getting in the playoffs, then that'll be a good season. And then obviously, once the season starts, you have a couple of defeats and everybody starts panicking, going, oh, my God, we're not at the top of the league. And it's like that was never the aim. And it's just remaining, looking at where you need to be.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a huge part of it. People have expectations. People want to do the best they can, obviously, for their clubs. And when things aren't quite going right, things then become a lot harder. So the way we started the season, we're being so close to winning. Everybody kind of raised their expectation after every meeting and raised and raised and raised to now we should be winning meetings rather than, you know, we can go win meetings. And unfortunately, you can kind of see that reflecting on the track. We've been very unlucky with injuries. Riders that, you know, unlucky, like Lampard was out last week, and now obviously Pavlicki's in, which is fantastic. Scott did an absolutely amazing job for us anyway, so very, very fortunate with that. But all we can do now is really just try and focus and try and get it back. So, and I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that we will.
Got Leicester away and then Birmingham, as I say, hosting the fixture against Bellevue, which is going to be a special one and hopefully a good turnout as well. You've had decent turnouts, I think, at Perry Bar in those opening fixtures and maybe bringing in a few sort of lapsed Wolves fans as well, I think, as well, just, you know, because you've got a bit of a Wolves connection with some of the riders in the team, haven't you?
Yeah, well, first of all, as well, I obviously didn't mention Leicester there, because Leicester were very good, and they kind of showed us the way around, which was a kind of onwards effect of what I just mentioned about the mindset thing, and yeah, I mean, they definitely handed it to us, so it'll be really interesting for us to go to their place now with a little bit of a different approach, and we've all been working very hard with, you know, Sam and obviously Chris to try and get everybody together, and I really hope that's going to be the difference now. The crowd's been very good, which is only a positive for Birmingham. We obviously need good crowds. The fans have been very very supportive, which is good, especially when things have been tough. So everything's looking positive. We just need to all sort of settle down and actually try and get this thing together.
Have you found the track? Because Nigel Tolley mentioned it in an interview last week that we played, and he was sort of saying that maybe there wasn't really maybe so much of a home advantage there, and the gates weren't lending themselves to give yourselves the advantage. But then we've had other interviews as well where, you know, Ty Wolfenden saying that he really enjoyed it and,
yep,
you know, found it a great track.
Yeah. Everybody is going to have different opinions on tracks. Everybody will want something a little bit different to the other guy, and unfortunately, you're never going to cater for everybody. In terms of the track, I mean, the track's the track, right? If you were to have an interview with a bomber, he would probably tell you the exact same thing. You have to turn up, you have to adapt, and you have to do the best you can. There's absolutely no excuses as to why there's no home track advantage, or as to, you know, all these sort of different things, because we're all professionals. We all want to do the best we can. The track has been very very good this year. There's absolutely no excuses there, for sure. It's been a little bit tricky because it's been on the slicker side, so that's always a little bit hard to kind of set your bikes up and to kind of get off the start. But it's been very consistent the last three meetings. So you know, definitely no excuses there. Track work's doing a fantastic. So
I mean, to be fair, you know, Bomber would ride the dog track and still make it work, wouldn't he? But
he would, exactly, and that's how you got to be, right? So.
We'll just talk about the championship, because you made a big move there from what was your great rival for the last few years. Glasgow and Poole obviously met in numerous finals, and you were victorious at Wimborne Road on that final day last year for that first big league title for Glasgow for many, many a year, and the first one with the current ownership as well, of course. And now you find yourself on the opposite side, and Steve Worrell heading north to Ashfield and you heading down to Wimborne Road. Bit of a swapsie there, but how's life been so far as a Pirate?
Yeah, fantastic. For me, it was a pretty much no-brainer in the winter. It was either we were going to race championship with Paul, or we weren't going to race championship at all. So for me to have that opportunity, for them, you know, Matt and Danny to have the trust in me and to have the faith that I can go do the job, definitely fulfills me with confidence. To kind of be at a team that kind of respects my opinion, that kind of respects what I'm about, definitely is a refreshing, to say the least. So. Really, really happy where I'm at. I couldn't be happier to have the team that I have too. Me and Sam Hagen kind of haven't ever known each other for a long time, so it's kind of cool to finally be racing with him, and just kind of got recently to know both the Cook brothers, and they're fantastic too. So as you say, everything's working well. It's definitely weird being in a blue suit, but it's something I'm getting used to. So couldn't be happier where I'm at.
Well, Sam Hagen's been burning it at both ends, hasn't he? Because he's guested the last couple of times for Glasgow as well. So
he has indeed. Naughty boy. No, I'm joking. No, it's good. It's good. He's really excelled the last few years. So you know, as long as we have to keep him grounded, and you know, he'll be off. So
yeah, and I think, you know, for any team that goes to visit Poole, it can be a bit hit and miss, but I think Poole do have this home advantage, don't they, of knowing the track inside out. You've got riders like Richard Lawson who know the place like the back of their hands, and now obviously Ben Cook is the captain now, Zach Cook as well. And now yourself, you know, you're going to be obviously riding many more laps of Wimborne Road than you ever will have done, and you get that practice and you're going to have it nailed.
Yeah, wow, I hope so. That's always the plan. I've been dreadful around Poole the last 3 years, absolutely dreadful, so for me, it was definitely somewhere that I wanted to go to just improve my knowledge, right? So But it's funny, I've been dreadful there for many, many years, and then I put a blue suit on and suddenly I can get around the place. So it definitely shows what the club can bring. It shows what obviously Neil knows as well, Neil Vujicic. And shows the kind of belief behind the club, because nothing has changed. My equipment's the same, everything is the same, but I've got to have like a blue suit on. So things obviously working.
And it's been a good start for Poole so far in the matches you've ridden. Obviously, rain has got in the way of a few of them, and you're sort of playing catch up a little bit over the next week or two. But next up, it's Knockout Cup, isn't it? And you've got Edinburgh. Who will be coming down there all guns blazing. And I think, you know, they've had some close scares, I think, Poole, with Edinburgh over the years. They'll always bring a decent crowd with them as well. But that's your next task coming up this week.
Yeah, massively. I definitely couldn't imagine doing the journey from Edinburgh to Poole being a supporter. But, you know, fair play to them. They always have real good supporters behind them. And Edinburgh's always a club and always like a team that you should never kind of take lightly. These guys know how to race a bike, and Edinburgh always bring out like a team that are always very, very strong. So for us, we have to just nail on and expect what they can bring.
What about Max Perry though? He's riding in the National League for Edinburgh, isn't he? And for Poole in the Championship. That's hardcore.
Oh, well, there we go. Maybe he can get in some of their heads for us.
So that's that. And then you've got the Speedway European Championships qualifiers coming up as well, and you're in that as well. Is it Austria you've got to go for there?
Austria, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't even know they did Speedway.
I was going to say, great Speedway nation.
So that'll be exciting, something new. The European Championship is something that I've really wanted to be a part of over the last few years, and now I believe I'm ready for that step. And hopefully all I can do is my best and try and get as many wins and as points on the board as I can to kind of succeed through the next round.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. And, it's obviously a big stepping stone in that next level. And, of course, the Grand Prix getting underway this weekend as well. People getting excited about that. We've got a good British presence. You've been part of a Grand Prix, of course, called into action in anger at Cardiff that time. And again, obviously, that's ultimately the aim, but you must be looking on like everybody else and with a bit of a Speedway fan's view of the Grand Prix and wondering if anybody can get close to Bartosz and whatever his magic is and if he can share it with everyone else.
Yeah, 100%. I don't even know where to begin with that. The Grand Prix are so strong, obviously the best riders in the world. So really looking forward to kind of watching that, learning as much as I can, like I do every year. And hopefully one day being a part of their lineup.
Yeah, that's the it certainly is the aim, isn't it? And why not? Why? You know, it's there to be got, isn't it? Well, look, thanks a lot, Tom, for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you on the TV, Eurosport, Monday night, the first fixture of the season on Eurosport. It's the Brummies against the Bellevue Aces, up against your former club, and obviously that first win of the season is still outstanding for Birmingham, but it'd be quite a sweet one to do it over the Aces, wouldn't it, for you?
Oh, yeah, massively. I mean, whoever we do it up against, it will feel the same. It will feel like, you know, all this hard work that kind of Birmingham have put in, we at the very least deserve a race for a meeting win. So things are looking up. Things are looking good. So, we've kind of had a bit of a break now, all of us. So it'll be nice to be a bit recharged and hit this head on Monday.
Yeah, I know Sam Malenko had interviewed him last week, and he was saying that, you know, he was trying to work out, you know, what the magic formula was, and you were having this break and hopefully coming out of that sort of rejuvenated.
Yeah, massively. I mean, when you're always so involved in something, it's always very good to have a step back and to kind of reevaluate a few things, because before you know it, we're already five meetings in, and to be honest, it doesn't feel like we've done five, because we've done about two. So things can kind of get carried away very quickly without any warning, really. So we've had Sam in touch, we've had Chris in touch, and we can only do the best we can. We have to try and get everybody together. To try and get one over Bellevue would obviously be a massive step, but at the same time we have to be realistic, and if we can keep it close to them, that'll almost feel like a win for us right now.
Good stuff. Well, we'll look forward to watching you in action on Monday night, and good luck with the other fixtures as well you've got with Leicester, and then before that as well, Poole as well. Busy time for Speedway riders from here on.
What is it, Birmingham's catch mark? Give us a B. Give us a B. Perfect.
Cheers, Tom. Thanks a lot. Tom Brennan of the Birmingham Brummies, also, of course, of the Poole Pirates as well. On No Breaks, No Fear, you can see Tom in action for Poole, first of all, on Wednesday, then away at Leicester for Birmingham on Thursday, and then on Monday, live on TV on Eurosport Discovery Plus, Monday night, for Birmingham versus the Bellevue Aces. Coming next on No Breaks, No Fear, then, turning our attention to the Speedway Grand Prix Series, and we look ahead to it with Dan Bewley and Chris Louie next.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome back. Turning our attention to the Cab Direct Championship and the BSN Series soon, but right now, focusing for a bit on the Speedway Grand Prix Series. 11 rounds on the way. There will, of course, at the end of it, be one world champion. Will that be once again Bartosz Szmarcslik? He, of course, is the one they all want to beat. Freddy Lindgren was second in the world last year. Martin Vasilik was third. Or can anyone else get in and disrupt things? Maybe the likes of Jack Holder might be under the spotlight. What about our British hopes, including Ty Woffenden, Dan Bewley and Robert Lambert, all dreaming of standing on that top step and holding aloft the OV Funding Trophy? One person will be doing that. We'll find out between now and the end of September who that will be. Phil Lanning has been catching up with one of our British hopes, Dan Bewley.
What's your expectation level, or are you careful not to have a target or expectation?
No, you know, I feel like we all have an idea of what we're capable of, but to be honest, I think the first year it took me a few rounds to get settled in, and then you know, I won a few rounds, and you know, you feel like you made it at that point, you can't go wrong. But it doesn't always go your way, but you know, sometimes it goes your way quite a lot. So just try to get to that form. But even last year, you know, people keep telling me, oh yeah, it wasn't like as good as the year before. But to be honest, like, when I look at it, it's like, yeah, I didn't get the, like, I won one round, but to be honest, it was, I wasn't even there, to be honest. I was riding in third person, I think. But but yeah, when I look at my points, like, for most of the season, until Manila, to be honest, I was right there every round. I was pretty much top four, top three even in the points. So I actually feel like I was better. It's just you know, getting to the end of the meetings, and just that's where the points are in the final. So just feel like that's the big thing, just to capitalise on those.
Actually, what you're saying is correct. You should know that, obviously. But the stats were saying, I think you made seven semi-finals, I think. But I think only one translated into a final. That is something, obviously, you'll want to eradicate this year, that you need to be that next level, that next step all the time.
Yeah, and there was a few different circumstances. But, yeah, one of them was, I feel like we fixed that. And then the other one, that was just complete fluke, probably just still too chilled at the line and stalled it. But in that one, I was probably got too far ahead of myself, and I was even thinking about the final and couldn't miss that one. So that one was kind of pulled you back
down. We'll forget about that one.
Pulled you back down to earth and just told you, you know, keep, don't get too far ahead of yourself. But yeah, you know, it was up and down here, but yeah, I feel like I was right there, and you know, could have achieved more, but didn't. So that's how it goes. So.
I would speak for all British Speedway fans to say that we were desperate for another British world champion. Obviously, Ty's done it three times, and we would love another one. Do you feel there's a feeling between, because you all get on so well, the three of you, do you feel there's a growing momentum with British Speedway again, and the riders at the top? Do you feel that you and Robert are ready to make that as well, somewhere along the line?
I do, but to be honest, if the way I see it, and I see it all the time with British fans and riders, I feel like we're either getting slated or we're getting bigged up too much. Like, I can go to a meeting, and you know, the only people who beat you is if, like, say you get beat by a couple of heat leaders, but some rider can go out and realistically just beat, you know, their reserves and whatever, and all of a sudden, and I've had the same thing, you know, when I was at number seven, and I beat their second strings, people are saying world champion. But now you get beat by their heat leader, and people are saying you're terrible and shambolic. So I feel like it's just, you know, you got to, yeah,
maybe,
whatever
maybe
it is,
not
just keep it in
maybe
track.
Maybe not read
and,
it.
Yeah, well, it's cool. And to be honest, if people's hyped up and they're pumping it up, like, you know, to be world champion or whatever, at the end of the day, it's nice that you got that.
But yeah, and if they come and support us, then even better. But just to keep one eye on it, as it's cool and it's awesome, but you know, not to, you know, I suppose if you believe it's good, but not to get, you know,
carried away,
too engaged with it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And maybe sort of, maybe the point of what you're saying is that everyone just keep their feet on the ground, keep the expectation down, and sort of just go, you know what, we're in the mix, we're in a great situation. I can't remember having three British riders at the top of their game in the Grand Prix series, or having three at the top in the World Championship in all my life. And so we should maybe be happy with that and just hope that we get a bit more of a bonus along the way with the medal.
Yeah, to be honest, the way I see it is, if you want to start 10 World Champion after the first round, that's cool, but I just want to take it round by round, try and get some wins, and yeah, we can start talking about that later in the season.
Good stuff. Wish you all the very best. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Well, there's Dan Bewley's hopes and thoughts on the Speedway Grand Prix series. Let's hear now from Eurosport and Discovery Plus commentator Chris Lewy, who's been chatting about the Grand Prix series with Ryan Guest.
So, Chris, this weekend, the 2024 FIM Speedway Grand Prix series gets underway. What are your thoughts heading into this new series?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. You know, it'd be nice to get going again. Seems to take a long while to come round as the regular season starts, and you're kind of like rubbing your hands together waiting for the GP. So looking forward to it. I think it's, you know, it's going to be competitive. Bartosz, pretty much, other than the most optimistic eyes, is definitely still the favourite for the year. But I'm sure there's enough in the field that we'll find some consistency to you know, at least push him.
If I had to put you on the spot to maybe pick two, three, four names of riders who you reckon could at least push him, where would you be looking this year?
To be honest, that's the most difficult one. You know, to say Smarzlik continues to stand out is probably the easy bit. Who's likely to push him? Look, you know, obviously I hope it's one of the Brits. But yeah, I mean, Jason, to be fair, of what I've seen of him in the UK so far, I think he's found a bit more speed than he's had over the last couple of years. So Doyle could certainly be up there pushing him. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's hard to look past the sort of six that qualified automatically. But I think people like Kubera and Wozniak, they're going to mix it. I can see them making the odd final as well, so that's definitely going to mix it up.
You've mentioned that the Brits will look at them all. Let's start with Dan Bewley and Robert Lambert together, though. Obviously, relatively new to the series, but at the same time, well bedded in and know what it's like now. How much do you think that they can kick on even further this year?
Yeah, I think they have to. I think, you know, Robert started to find consistency, certainly last year, that sort of helped him. Although I think first half of the season, he just wasn't quite good enough. And sort of put himself under a little bit of pressure. But, you know, they've had similar paths, Dan and Robert. I think Dan, for me, needs to push on. I know he's had a slightly indifferent start domestically to the season, so I think he'll be probably looking forward to the challenge, and maybe that will help him, you know, back in the UK and Poland. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, I think they'll make progress.
Yeah, we started seeing signs from Ty Woffenden as well in those last few Grand Prix that he actually competed in last year, and then obviously got injured. But do you think being back in British Speedway and enjoying his riding of the bike could help him on the Grand Prix scene this year?
Yeah, you can't be a three times champion and forget how to do it, you know, at any level. So, I think, you know, he's made a conscious decision to ride here, and I think he knows why he did that. So I think it will help him for sure.
Yeah, and obviously we get underway on Saturday in Croatia. Your thoughts ahead of that one, and who are you tipping to be on the podium?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's a pretty even track. It's not, although it's obviously, you know, it's slightly different to a lot of them. I think it's an even track that most riders are happy to ride. Smarzlik, of course. I think Jason's more than capable of being in the final. I don't know what we're going to get from the Brits, but I'll say for the first round, I think Ty is probably going to be up there. As I said, that top six with Vasilik and Lindgren, it's very open field, I think.
Yeah, open field overall, and certainly an open field as far as Croatia is concerned, but perhaps it does favour riders with British experience. Last year, Bartosz Szmarszlik took the top step, as he did so many times, but Robert Lambert was second, Freddie Lindgren third, Jason Doyle fourth in the final in Croatia. So we'll wait and see what happens this year, and you'll be able to watch it, of course, live on Discovery Plus and Eurosport. Qualifying will take place at 2 o'clock British time, and racing starts 6 o'clock British time. So that's 2 o'clock here, 3 o'clock in Croatia, or at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in Europe. Racing starts for the first Grand Prix of the year, and we'll have reaction to that, of course, next week here on No Breaks, No Fear. Next then to the BSN Series, and Glasgow are off the mark in the Scottish section of the BSN Series, courtesy of a win and a vital aggregate point over Berwick. The Tigers defeating the Bandits 50-40 at Ashfield and overturning a six-point margin from their recent clash at Shieldfield Park, with the matches against Edinburgh still to come. Guest Klaus Wissing made an impressive return for his old club with 13 points. Captain Chris Harris adding 12+1. Drew Kemp won three races for the Bandits and scored nine. In a few moments, we'll hear from Berwick signing Bastian Bork, who certainly was impressive around Ashfield and has certainly put in some fantastic performances on his home track as well so far since making the move from Edinburgh. But first, we'll hear from Glasgow team boss Cammy Brown.
I think Stevie Warnes looked the part. Unlucky not to get heat 15, but I couldn't deny Klaus. He was so good. You've got to use Bomber heat 15. He's been there, done it a million times. I could have used, you know, two or three people in heat 15. Ace, although he didn't get many points, was on the pace. So delighted with that part of the team. And I think James Pearson's going to be a star. I really do.
Yeah, he had a great night tonight. Yep.
He was much faster than the points he scored. Yeah. His day will come.
And, you know, a great choice and to have Klaus Wissing come back and really showed his class around Ashfield tonight.
Klaus loves the club and we love him. And it was just unfortunate we couldn't fit him back in for various reasons. Yeah. Mostly the fact he rides on a Wednesday in Denmark and pulling Oxford or Wednesday tracks, we wouldn't have been able to use him. That's the main reason. There's other reasons as well, but that's the main reason. You can see he's still good friends. I talk to him on a weekly basis. He's great friends with the club, and he always gets for us if we can. And the future still might be close. Vista might be back riding for Glasgow one day.
It really gets your BSN Series campaign off to the perfect start now.
It does, but we can't take eyes off the ball because we've now got to be very careful. We can win the bonus with Edinburgh. And then try and progress, because that's the whole point of Glasgow Speedway. We want to be in the finals. We want to, be there at the end of the season and be in all the trophy finals, and that's the target.
Okay, so Glasgow off the mark in the BSN Series. For the Berwick Bandits, their first defeat of the season. They've had a terrific start to the year. They've suffered a bit of a setback with Louis Kerr finding himself on the sidelines for the time being. But one of the bright sparks has certainly been Bastian Bork, a new signing for the Bandits, but not new to British Speedway. Rode for Edinburgh for half of last season. And certainly the latest Dane on the scene, Phil Lanning, has been having a chat with him.
It's been a really strong start to the season for you at Berwick, and difficult night tonight at Glasgow, but you've all come away very disappointed to lose at Glasgow by 10 points, which sort of says a lot of where Berwick are right now and the mindset that you came here unbeaten and you're disappointed to lose. But for you personally, it's been a bit eventful. You had a crash, and you've come here tonight, you've had a decent meeting tonight and a decent start to the season.
Yeah, I think for sure we're all a little bit disappointed that we lost today, but I think we're still in a good position. We still got Louis out and Setien instead of him. I don't know how much of a difference it would have made today, but obviously Glasgow had some changes as well. Lucky for them, that turned out to be good for them. Mm-hmm. But I think going into the season, the mindset with Berwick and most of my clubs really was to win the whole leagues, no matter where I was. So I was really going into the season, and I'm still believing that we can win the whole thing, but I think we just need a couple guys need to bounce back from this one, and then we're going to be good.
But you came into this side and Stuart Dixon brought you in as a really trump card reserve, and that's turning out that way. You've been very consistent. You'll say you're not starting as well as you'd like to at the moment, but you're still scoring well. So are you where you want to be at the moment, or where do you see your target being this season personally?
Just getting better every day. That's really my target. If I end the season on a better average than I started it, then I'm happy. Mm-hmm. So, well, Yeah, my gates are not too good at the moment. I think they got a little bit better today, but the last one wasn't any good at all, I think. So, but I think I'm working on everything, trying to make everything work together, keeping it very simple to make it more easy for myself. Anyway, it's more nice for the spectators to see someone pass and just take the gate and go.
Absolutely. Have to talk about last week. Considering the fact that you've come here tonight and you're disappointed with the result, at the start of the week you're in the hospital and it looked pretty grim for you. It looked like a really nasty crash. So tell us about your injury, and you've been hobbling about all night as well, so obviously you must be still sore.
Yeah, so when I come today it wasn't really that bad. It didn't feel any pain, really, just a little bit. But I was at the physio 2 times last week and he told me that it, if it stayed like it was, then I had to go to a CT scan in Denmark. So at the moment I really don't know what's wrong, because I was feeling fine when I got here, but after like one heat or two heats, it's just like it started getting sore and just getting worse and worse. And I had to swallow a whole bunch of the pills the hospital prescribed to me. To take the pain away.
That's not ideal in the middle of a meeting, is it?
No, I did it after the meeting because I was afraid it was going to take like some power out of me. I don't know. It's like we'll see what happens. I think I'll still be riding no matter what is wrong. But I just want to know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. If I can do any training or physical things to like sort of help it on its way.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've been blessed in British Speedway with so many legendary Danish riders down the years. Have been, you know, we could list them all. You know them all. You've probably grown up knowing them all. Who was your hero growing up? Who was the one who inspired you to come over to Britain and try and do the same as they've done?
Nikolaj Busk Jakobsen. I've always wanted.
He'll be delighted to know you've put him above Hans Nielsen, Erik Gundersen, but you've chose Busk instead.
Yeah, definitely. Because I've grown up watching him. He's just always been at Berwick, and that's where I've always wanted to be. I don't really care if they're in the championship or premiership. I reckon I'll be here for a long time, probably. A shame they didn't bring me over before, but I'm here now, so I think I'm doing okay for myself. And
there's not many Danish riders who are sitting in Denmark who grow up thinking, you know what, I just want to go to Berwick. There's not many, so that's such a compliment for the Bandits, isn't it?
I would say so, yeah. But I think it's just because I've seen Nikolaj in the suit always, and that's really the thing why I've always dreamt of going here. I don't know.
So it's a dream come true. You're at Berwick.
Exactly.
You've made it.
I've made something so far, so now we'll see what the rest will bring.
Okay, good stuff. Listen, glad to see you all good, and keep running so well.
Thank you.
Certainly a hit already with the Berwick Bandits faithful. There's Bastian Bork chatting to Phil Lanning. Scunthorpe completed a BSN Series double over Redcar with a 48-42 win at the Echo Arena to maintain their unbeaten start to the season. Michael Palmtoft unbeaten once again for the Scorpions, this time going through the card on his old home track with 14+1 as the visitors came back from an 8-point deficit after 6 heats. The home side still led 40-38 with 2 races remaining, but captain Charles Wright crashed out in heat 7. Michael Palmtoft teamed up with youngster Luke Harrison and then Kyle Howarth for 5-1s to turn the match in Scunthorpe's favour. Jason Edwards impressed for the home side. He got 11+1, but the Bears still searching for their first win of the season. We'll hear now from the Scunthorpe manager David Howe, who's chatting to Ryan Guest.
Well, David, let's start by recapping last weekend. First and foremost, in the win at Redcar, how proud were you of the boys? Obviously, 8 points down after 6 races to fight back and get that victory.
Yeah, I was really pleased with the whole team. It was a full 1-7, effort. We obviously had Jack in for Nathan, and he started off with that win, so that was brilliant for him. And yeah, midway through the meeting, we made some changes to Luke's bike, and that made a massive difference. And he pulled us back in proper in heat 14. So yeah, everybody did well. Obviously, Tofty was a standout, but they all chipped in. And yeah, and every time they kind of managed to get a little bit up, we pulled a 5-1 back. So we never felt like we were more than 4 points down any time anyway. So yeah, it was really pleasing.
Obviously, it was a long drive down to Plymouth on the Saturday. Didn't go the boys' way on the night, but the main and most important thing through to the next round of the Knockout Cup.
Yeah, I mean, Plymouth's one of those tracks, and it's never really been a happy underground for Scunthorpe. But again, it was really until the last third of the meeting, we were pretty much in it all the way then as well. I still felt that we could win the meeting at, you know, till about heat 11 or 12. But Ben Barker was really, really, really good. He looked amazing. So, but the job was really just to, you know, we'd got, you know, 1.5 hands on, you know, on the next round anyway. So it was just a matter of, you know, going. We didn't know what the track was going to be like, with the changes and whatnot. But so we just kind of said, look, let's see what if we're in a position to win, we'll try, but let's just qualify.
And looking ahead to next weekend as well, obviously, one meeting at a time. First and foremost, that quick turnaround in the Cup away at Berwick on Saturday night, who've obviously started the season pretty impressively themselves.
Yeah, they have. But I've got a lot of confidence in, you know, my top five for sure. Luke knows Berwick well, but I refuse to put any pressure on him. I just let him do his own thing. But all of my top five ride Berwick very well. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
And you'll be following that in the BSN series at Workington on Sunday as well. And the way that mini group's shaping up, it's certainly a big one.
Well, yeah, I said to the guys at Redcar, look, I didn't expect Workington to win at Redcar, so it kind of shook the whole group up. And I said to the boys before the meeting, look, we've got to either win here or we've got to win at Workington now. They managed to get the win there, so it's like ease the pressure a bit. We just need to win at home and get the aggregate point. So, keeping it tight at Workington's key. But again, there's no reason why we can't go and win there. That would be the aim to start with anyway.
And just finally, a quick word on Nathan Ablett, because I know so many people were impressed with that home first-time fixture against Redcar and the way he performed on that occasion. What's the latest?
I spoke to Nathan today. He's been to see a physio. It's not as bad as we feared. He's got a slight break in his ankle, but he hasn't done any major ligament damage. The physio said if it was a more of a rotational sport, you know, football or anything like that, he'd probably be another 6 weeks. But he expects him to be back a lot sooner than that, so hopefully in the next couple.
It was a bruising weekend for the Redcar Bears, who then went to Workington and were defeated again. Workington coming back from 6 points down to defeat the Bears 49-41 and complete a maximum haul against them in the BSN Series Northern Section. Captain Craig Cook scored 14+1, a paid maximum from 5 rides for the Comets, and backed by Troy Batchelor with 11+1 and Antti Vuolas, who got 10. Cook and Batchelor combining to clinch victory with a 5-1 in heat number 15. But the Bears hampered with the withdrawal of Danny King, suffering a heavy crash in Heat 11 when he was collected by home reserve Sam McGurk on the exit of the fourth bend. Jonas Knudsen top scored for the visitors with 12+2. Here's the thoughts of the Redcar team manager Gavin Parr.
It's becoming a bit of a habit, isn't it? I think, it's very difficult to swallow. You know, we are working so hard to try and rectify, and then things sort of completely out of our control sort of, you know, take over. It was always going to be difficult, but I thought we were really well in with a good shout. And then, unfortunate what happened to McGurk. Completely wiped out Danny, and that was sort of curtains without Charles already. It puts were right up against it.
What is the situation with Danny?
Yeah, he's all right. He's very, very sore. His hip hit the fence at some speed. He's gone off home there now. He's hoping, you know, maybe he's a long hot soak in the bath, because I think he's got a match on Monday night. But it'll be a touch and go whether he makes Monday, I think, to be fair.
Because it's not nothing too long-lasting too severe.
It looks more like sort of, you know, like a bang more than anything else, you know. As I say, he hit the fence with some speed. He's bent his sort of his bike, his diamond, his forks, his blades have all gone. So, he hit it with something, but good thing here at Working, the fence is quite soft. It's one of them nice mesh soft ones. So hopefully it's taken some of the impact, and Danny, he'll be all right in a few days, we hope.
High points though. Jonas Knudsen had a fantastic meeting.
Yeah, that's two now, isn't it? You know, last night he rode really well, and today he showed the confidence and, you know, the ability that he's got. You know, not always just by being the fastest, but also intelligent, you know, dropping the bike on people when you've got to, being a little bit forceful when you have to, you know. I think he'll admit, he's not renowned for being the strongest sort of, you know, muscliest rider. But today I think he showed on a couple of occasions that, you know, he'll not be pushed around. And yeah, absolutely delighted for him, you know, because the sort of the keyboard warriors were already out sort of having, you know, snipes. So hopefully he's silenced a few of those today.
Certainly has, yes. And you're going to get to renew acquaintances pretty quickly with Workington there, because you've got them in the cup as well.
I think it's going to make for a couple of good ties, isn't it, after sort of, you know, the one at ours and the one here. I think it's quite mouth-watering, and not for team managers and stuff, but I think for the public watching, I think, yeah, there should be another couple of cracking fixtures.
It was a terrific meeting. Some great racing through the fixture as well, regardless of the scoreline. The new track record was set in heat number one. Craig Cook smashing the track record previously set by Connor Bailey. He knocked 1.5 seconds off it in that very first heat, and it actually looked like Tate Zischke was trailing by a little distance in that first outing, but when you consider how fast Craig Cook was going, probably not that far off the pace. Certainly the two of them teamed up for a couple of important 5-1s later on in the meeting, and Tate Zischke had a chat with me afterwards as well at Workington.
Yeah, it was a good win here at home, and hopefully all the fans like that one. And yeah, couple good races with Cookie, and yeah, really fitting in.
Your first heat was maybe not the best one, but you make some changes because you seem to have a lot more speed for the rest of your heats.
Yeah, the first one I just made a terrible start and got filled in and ran out of tear off, so that's not always good. So yeah, but we didn't make too many changes all day, so now it was pretty much the same. But yeah, just worked the track out a bit more dirt than normal, and yeah, just we got better by the end of the day.
Nice to get a home meeting on the board, but also I think people watching this on BSN will have seen the great racing overall, whether they're a red car fan or a Workington fan or just a fan of Speedway. We've seen some great heats of Speedway here on this track.
Yeah, 100%. This is really good racetrack. It's so racy. There's so many lines, and yeah, it's always good watching here. And yeah, we'll see. Hopefully the rest of the season can go good for us.
And a new track record in heat number one as well. You were obviously quite a long way behind Cookie, but bear in mind that Craig Cook took a second and a half off the track record.
Yeah, Cookie was flying. He's been flying lately, so hopefully he can keep that going for the rest of the season. And yeah, it should be good.
You get to face Red Car again. You got them in the cup, so it's a battle you're going to be doing again very soon.
Yeah, we'll be going back to Red Car, I think, Friday. So yeah, I like that track, so I'm excited to go back there and hopefully get some more wins than last time.
Tate Zischke of the Workington Comets. We'll have a full look at all the upcoming fixtures in just a moment. Just finally to touch on the WSRA National Development League, which is in full swing now. And the NDL champions Oxford secured back-to-back wins over Edinburgh in their opening NDL encounters. Jason Garrard scoring his first ever maximum at this level in the home fixture. Meanwhile, Leicester made the perfect start with their 55-35 win over Middlesbrough on Sunday, being their third in succession. Dave Howard said everybody had really good rides, everybody had wins or paid wins. It was another really good team performance, so certainly starting as they mean to go on. And the new Sheffield Scunthorpe team races for the first time this week when the Tiger Cubs host Middlesbrough at Ollerton. Jack Smith having stepped in for the injured Nathan Ablett. Bellevue's next fixture is on May 12th when the Colts travel to Leicester, who picked up an away win at the National Speedway Stadium on Good Friday. We'll round off then by looking at the full fixture picture for the week ahead. Wednesday, April 24th, Cab Direct Knockout Cup quarter-final first leg. It's Poole versus Edinburgh, and it's 7:30 the start time at Wimborne Road. Thursday, April 25th, Rome Motor Oil Premiership. It is Ipswich versus Sheffield. And Leicester versus Birmingham. Leicester 43-29 up on the aggregate situation there. And Oxford versus King's Lynn. National Development League, as we mentioned, Sheffield versus Middlesbrough. Friday, Cab Direct Knockout Cup quarter-final first leg. Glasgow versus Oxford and Redcar versus Workington. And in the BSN Series Scottish Group, Edinburgh versus Berwick. And Berwick are a few points up on the aggregate bonus there as well. 47-43 they lead on that one. That fixture will be live on BSN on Friday night. On Saturday, Cab Direct Knockout Cup quarter-final first leg between Berwick and Scunthorpe, starting at Shieldfield at 7 o'clock. On Sunday, BSN Series action back at Northside, the GT Tyres Arena, Workington Comets versus the Scunthorpe Scorpions. The top two teams in that northern section colliding there. And then on Monday, Rome Motor Oil Premiership Round 1, and it's live on Eurosport Discovery Plus. It is the Birmingham Brummies versus the Bellevue Aces, starting at 7:30, and then next Tuesday, we've got the British Under-21 Qualifier, which takes place at Plymouth.
That is a 7 p.m. start time for that one. And we'll be back next week with another episode of No Breaks, No Fear. Gearing up for a big bank holiday weekend of Speedway. All the previews and reaction to those meetings we just talked about as well coming up on next week's episode. Enjoy your Speedway wherever you're going, wherever you're watching it. And we'll catch you next week on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.